Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Donator, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Robert Berry. Robert Berry is a Grammy-nominated recording artist, singer, songwriter, producer, and performing musician. He was featured on an album titled Three with Keith Emerson and Carl Palmer. He has toured with Ambrosia and has a long-running project alliance with members of Boston, Sammy Hagar, and Night Ranger, and has also performed with The Tubes and Greg Kinn. Robert is also the owner of Soundtech Studios in Campbell, California. Today, Robert and I will be talking about his musical journey, including what it was like to record and perform with Keith Emerson and Carl Palmer. The band was called Three, but is also known as Emerson, Berry, Palmer. I'll be playing one of my favorite songs written and performed by Robert Berry. The title of the song is Talkin' Bout, and it's on the Three album titled To the Power of Three. To connect with Robert Berry online, visit his website at www.robertberry.com. That's RobertBerry.com. Hello, Robert. Are you there?
I am here, Margot. I got to tell you, I have got to learn that when I'm doing interviews and things, be able to say my name as many times as you did. That is the way to promote things. Man, I'm feeling like I'm important now.
You are important.
Thank you.
That's one of the things that we love about you, though, is that even though you've done so many amazing things, you don't think that you're really, really important and go around saying, I'm important and you're not.
Well, I think you're only as successful as the dreams you've achieved, you know, and my dreams are always way ahead of my achievements. So I will never be successful in my own mind, but I'm happy. I love what I do. I want to tell you, something struck me really funny. I haven't thought about for a long time, and you'd said in the song Talkin' Bout, we're going to play Talkin' Bout. And here in the United States, talkin' hyphen bout makes sense. But in England, everything is very proper, you know. And when Carl used to go up, he liked to introduce that song because it got to be number 9 of the charts. We were really proud of it, and we're out touring. He goes, and our single, Talking About. And it just always sounded so funny. Our song is Talking About, right? Slang. He's like, Talking About, he'd announce it as.
Oh, that is really funny. That is funny. I know that you have a lot of stories that you can tell us about what it was like. But first of all, let's backtrack a little. How did you end up working with those two?
You know, it's interesting. There was a band called Asia, which a lot of people know is a very big band. And their lead singer, who's a wonderful guy, but had a problem where he couldn't really continue with the band. And Geffen Records was sort of grooming me to be a solo, like a Brian Adams kind of solo rock guy. And Geffen Records played it was a cassette tape at that time in 86, for Carl Palmer, and Carl Palmer just liked some of the songs. Talking About wasn't even written then, but he liked some of the other things. And Carl Palmer actually called me right here at my studio in Campbell, California, out of the blue one day, and I thought it was a friend of mine that was making fun of me with his English accent. This is Carl Palmer for Robert Berry. And I went, yeah, right. I said, how you doing, Richard? Richard Katz is an old drummer friend of mine who did my album cover, artist too, for Pilgrimage to a Point, not to get too far off base here, but I thought it was him. And I said, yeah, I'm fine, Carl. How's it going? He goes, well, I have your tapes from John Klaudner at Geffen. And then I knew, because John Klaudner was a very famous A&R guy, still is, and put every band together. He put Sammy Hagar, who was his artist, together with Van Halen, and the guy's just a genius. And, wow, just out of the blue, Carl Palmer called me, and I met his manager in San Francisco when he was here for a GTR show, which is a band that Steve Howe had from Yes. And then they flew me over to England to try to start a band with Carl, and it didn't work out. But Steve Howe with GTR liked the songs, too, that he had heard, and he asked me to join GTR. So I actually stayed there playing with GTR. That didn't quite work out the way I saw my life working out, because I was writing songs, I was doing a lot of cool stuff, but I wasn't really the main player, and I didn't get to sing lead. the singer hated the idea that I was actually a singer and tried everything he could to hold me down and not let my voice get on the recordings and stuff. It was kind of funny. And I just thought, there's got to be something better in life than this. So I was heading home when Carl called Keith Emerson and said, you got to hear this guy. We need to start a band. So I had lunch with Keith, and that's how it all started. Kind of a funny story, but it's, you know, it's, you put one foot in front of the other, and something's bound to happen. And if you're in control of your life and you have vision and things you want to do and you're honest about it, usually something good happens. And something good happened for me.
That is so true. So what? Now, what year was that, that when Keith asked you out to lunch?
The album was out in 88, so that must have been 87, because we spent about 6 to 8 months writing and recording and getting the album together. I was scared to death, actually. I was over there with all these guys that were my heroes. When I had my local band, Hush, we played Yes music, and we played Emerson, Lake and Palmer. We played all this music, and I was over there with all these heroes getting to play with them. But Keith Emerson was this mad scientist keyboard player, I thought, that was just this genius guy. That his stuff was so difficult that I was scared to death to meet him. I thought, oh, this guy's going to be really hard on me. And he wound up being the biggest jokester and more fun than all of them put together. He's really a wonderful guy.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear. Oh, I love it. And the thing is that it proves my point that when you are willing to do things that are both scary and exciting, so in other words, it wasn't just scary, it was something that was really exciting for you, then you grow and these opportunities happen and one thing, like you said, leads to the next.
Yeah, and I think I've talked to you about this before, but for me, I always said yes to any opportunity, seeing what's going to happen. But I found over the last 20 years, when I wanted, you know, to reach for something, I wanted to include somebody else in it, that I always, I would just say, oh, they're not going to want to do this, or oh, that's not going to work out. I'd sort of make up their mind for them. Like when I called, you know, I have my December People band, which you know is a holiday band, and I wanted to call the
Guitar
Therapy band Boston.
And I love your holiday band. Yes, I do. I love the December People.
And it's fun.
Already looking forward to going to see you guys again.
What? That's right. You did come to the Pleasanton show last year, huh? I mean, you saw it live before that, Monterey. And then Pleasanton,
no,
you saw...
I didn't get to go to the Monterey one, but I did go to that one where they were filming you for the PBS special.
Oh,
that was
that's where it was, yes.
Yeah.
So you've seen it a few times, you know we have fun, but that guitar player in December he plays in Boston. I thought, oh, no, Gary's not going to want to do this silly Christmas band, this idea, this vision I have, this thing. I think it's going to be so much fun and so great. But I pushed through, and you know, I learned a lesson then. I don't need to make up Gary's mind or anybody's mind for them. If I have something I want to try to do, let them tell me no if they don't want to do it, you know? And I always did that for myself. That's my point. You know, I never said no to myself. I'm going to go in there. I can do this. I'm going to see what happens, see what the opportunities are and make it happen. But when it came to getting other people to buy into my plan, sometimes I didn't ask them to make up their own mind. I made it for them by not even talking to them about it.
That's such an important point, Robert, too, because I had finally realized, I don't even remember if it was last year or the year before, but that if you don't ask, the answer is for sure no.
That's right.
And then so I turned it into a reminder for myself, if you ask, the answer can be yes.
Mm-hmm.
And like my brother says, it can be sometimes, if you ask, the answer can be, oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did talk about this before, but it's important, you know, for me to look back on my life, and I've been very lucky with things, but I've never said, oh, I don't want to try that. I've always put one foot out in front of the other and sort of dove in. I risk, at the point I moved to England, I have a recording studio here. I've recorded Dudley. I've recorded some great artists here that you've actually had in your show. Anna.
Oh,
and
recorded
Michelle.
So many people.
I've had some people from all over the world, great people, and this studio is important to me, and it's, I really love doing this with other people, the collaboration of it. There's just nothing better in my life. But I moved to England, willing to risk this, because I had to put that foot in front of the other to try to do something that was part of my big dream. And, of course, to pay for that, I had to fly back every 2 months and work 2 weeks straight, day and night, with sessions, just to make enough money to keep the bills paid for the next 2 months that I was in England working on this thing with, first of all, Steve Howe and then Keith Emerson. But
you have to keep
moving forward.
In all the time I've known you, I had never heard that part of your musical journey that I haven't heard, even though we've been friends for, do you realize this year it's 40 years since I first met you?
I'm only 35 years old. How does that happen?
Because we were five. No, you were five. You're
negative five.
Yeah, you're 2 years older than me. So,
There's something else I haven't told you.
I must have been 3 years old. Hey, that's perfect because we're talking about the album Three, right?
That's it, yeah. I am actually not writing a book like you have to publish and put out, but I am writing a book about how things happen in my life and how I got so lucky and the support system that I have. Like say when I was 12, and even though the guys mm-hmm. came to my dad's music store because they thought they'd get free equipment and have me in their band, this little kid,
mm-hmm.
these guys were 18
mm-hmm.
and I was 12, they took care of me and they taught me. And I never had any problem drugs, drinking, none of that. These guys watched over me. And what I'm trying to do is write how I got so lucky, but at the same time I'm going to have a parallel path in there from the
mm-hmm.
key people, like the guy that got me in that band. I want him to write something about this nerdy little kid that couldn't play, that he got in his band, and I was so shy, and sort of a parallel path, because I want to leave that for my kids, for them to see by putting one foot in front of the other isn't the only thing. You have to surround yourself with good people.
Oh,
and I
totally,
think
totally. Who you surround yourself, that's chapter 7 in my book, you know, is to think about who is influencing you and also who you're influencing and what kind of influence that you're being on them. So that's such an important part, and I love this idea. I had always wanted to write a book about you and your musical journey, and at some point one of my dreams is to write a book, actually a series of books called Live Your Music and interview people, which is actually, that idea came to me before the idea to do the radio show. But all of the people that I've been interviewing so far and all the ones that I have lined up, and I've got some really cool ones lined up all the way through most of July. I'm starting to book August and September now. And these are all people who are living the music they hear calling them. And some of them it's actual music, and some of them it's not. Some of them it's being a teacher. Some of them it's writing books, you know, dancing, singing, whatever. You know, it can be anything, but... Yeah, that would...
I think I'm a big Wayne Dyer fan, and that's really because
mm-hmm.
you exposed me to the content of his books and his tapes
mm-hmm.
and everything, but I'm not sure if it was him, but a long time ago he exposed me to this theory of if you want to be successful, you surround yourself
mm-hmm.
with successful people, and I forget who says that. It could have been Wayne, it could have been one of the other ones, but that's
sort of a theory
I really believe in.
Yeah, it might have been him, it might have been someone else. But the thing that Wayne has always said, and that's how this radio show got titled Live Your Music and how I got the idea to write a book called Live Your Music, is he's always said, don't die with your music still in you. Don't
mm-hmm.
die with your music still in you. In fact, his daughter, Serena, who is just a love bug, she's got a book coming out on June 16th. Of this year, and it's called Don't Die With Your Music Still In You, because it was one of his 10 secrets. It's in that little book I gave you, 10 Secrets for Inner Peace and Success. I can't remember the exact title right now, but
get the phone to reach there, I have the cable wrapped around something, but it's sitting right here on my recording board with a couple other books and three of them you've given me and a few other music books for people to look at. I keep it right there. It's very
cool.
Inspirational.
Yeah.
My eyes are better.
Right,
I can
here.
Read the whole title.
Yeah, mine's on the desk, on my desk, too. It says 10 Secrets for Success and Inner Peace. That's the exact title.
Yeah.
Wow. And as usual, the time is totally flying by. So it's almost 15 minutes into the show, and I want to make sure that we have time to play the song Talking About. Mm-hmm. And then after that, then I want to talk to you about talking about.
Okay.
Was talking about from To the Power of Three by Three, which is Emerson, Berry, and Palmer. So, Robert, tell us a little bit about that song.
You know, I'll tell you something I've never told in an interview before, and that I do a lot of high-tech music for videos here. I'm in Silicon Valley, so everybody, Apple, Hewlett Packard, everybody's here. eBay, we got, I mean, you know all the names. Everybody knows where Silicon
mm-hmm.
Valley, San Jose is.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing one for a company that was making video cards, the first thing that they used for Lucasfilms and all that. I forget the name of the company now. It was a big company, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, Silicon Graphics, it was called.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
they needed a big fanfare piece. So even though it sounds nothing like the way Keith rearranged and played it, the opening big chords were this fanfare piece that I wrote for Silicon Graphics. And it wasn't a song. It was just these chords, and it had some beat going on. That they'd talk over, here's our new product, blah, 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 you know. And when I was in England, I thought, man, I like that. I wonder if I could make that into a song. And I had a reason to write what I considered sort of inspirational song, to get somebody to make a stand, make them to commit to something. I was thinking about that. And I
mm-hmm.
thought, well, that's fanfare. That's always powerful, you know. That would be really nice. And Keith, of course, had fanfare for the common man. And I first wrote it, though, while I was still playing with Steve Howe, because I had met Keith, but I was still in GTR.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a version of that with Steve Howe and GTR with the whole fanfare thing done in guitar, which sounds kind of cool too. But it wasn't really till Keith got a hold of it and put those fantastic chords and everything that it turned out to be the song that it is. And one of the nicest things for me is here I have all these songs I'm bringing to the table, and Keith has stuff, and Carl has ideas, and we're writing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about it's on my cassette tape and this little form I have with a little maybe piano and me singing the new words I put to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, this really isn't a, it's not a commercial song. It's something I really felt at the time, but maybe we could do it. I don't know. It just wasn't something I thought would be a number one song on an album, kind of just be in the album somewhere. Everybody loved it. The record company loved it. They put out as a first single. It went to number 9, and everywhere we went, every radio station, and you got to remember, in 1988, grunge was starting to come in.
Hmm.
The music of the 90s, the guitar stuff, was Nirvana, and so we had Guns N' Roses sort of bridging that gap. It was all guitar rock, kind of heavy, and got
mm-hmm.
grungier and grungier. We were trying to still hang on to this keyboard thing. Nobody's using keyboards. Everywhere
hmm.
we went, the radio stations would say, that song sounds so good on our station between all this new stuff that's coming out. They just they love the sound. The song went to number 9, and just shows you that you never know what's going to happen with something. You know, it built me a house, that song.
Yeah. Well, it's true that you never know, but I have one thing that I disagree with that whole thing, and that is that it only got to number 9. To me, it's a number 1. And I love that song, and I really love all of the songs on that album. And I just wanted to mention before I forget that the album is available on Amazon. If you just go to Amazon.com and put in the search To the Power of Three, T-H-R-E-E, you will find it. And you can buy the songs individually so people can download Just Talking About if they want. But there's also other songs I'd like to mention the titles real quickly. Number 2 is Lover to Lover. 3 is Chains. 4 is, how do you say that?
Desde La Vida. That's a big
Vida.
Piece of music, too, yeah.
Oh, that is incredible, too. And then your the version you three do of 8 Miles High is awesome. And then you've got Runaway.
Video you can find on YouTube, which is really a
cool
video.
Oh, cool. Okay. And then Runaway, You Do or You Don't, and On My Way Home. I love every song on that album. I just never get tired of it. And it's funny. Here's a story I don't know if you know about, but the way I first got the cassette of that album was my cousin Mike Neely sent me the CD because he knew, I mean, not CD, the cassette, because he knew that we were friends and that he knew that I loved your music. And that's how I first heard about it, is he gave that to me. Then later I bought the CD of it, and then when we went down to visit our son Xander down in Sherman Oaks in Hollywood last year, I think it was the end of April, he gave me an amazing gift. He found a vinyl version of the 3 album, and it's actually one of the promo copies. It says right on it, not for sale.
Yeah.
So I have that as well. And you know,
that's another thing about that period of time in music. They were making CDs, but not as many, and CDs didn't sound as good then. They were a little bit tinnier. They didn't quite have it down. But and albums, vinyl was still big, and then pretty much a couple years after that, it was all CDs. You know, we were right in that transitional phase of musical styles and technology and everything. It was a different period. I was lucky to get in then because 2 years later, there's no way a song or a band with keyboards like that would have made it. The way we did.
And I think the cycle's coming back to where that's really popular right now. You know, we only have 5 minutes left, so I want to make sure I mention this, what's on next week before I forget. Next week's show on Wednesday, May 21st, 2014, my guest will be Jean Rabor. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. We'll be talking about her book titled She Has a Big Butt, Past Your Excuses and Realize Your Dreams. And the butt in that is B-U-T, exclamation point. She's got a great sense of humor, and she also, I think, does some comedy. I met her through Toastmasters but actually through Cheryl Richardson online. We were both thanking Cheryl for getting us started in Toastmasters, and we've been friends on Facebook for years. And she actually had me on her radio show that she had, Celebrate Your Life, before. So that's going to be a great show. And I'll be posting the link for the show on Facebook and Twitter. And you can also sign up for my email list on my website at margojoydenator.com to receive updates on what shows and guests are coming up next. Oh, Robert, and let's see, let's get back in here. Your website is www.robertberry.com, robertberry.com, and people can connect with you there. And you probably have links for your Facebook, Twitter, and your email list on your website, correct?
Yes, but more importantly, really, I like to send people to decemberpeople.com, even though we're not talking about that. That's my big deal. decemberpeople.com, you know, it's tied
okay.
to charities and stuff, so I always like to mention that too.
Cool. And hopefully there's a link for that as well on your robertberry.com that you need to have links.
There
back
should
and
be.
Forth.
I'm sure there is, but, you know, I'm so busy, I have to ask Pat.
Oh. Yeah, ask Pat. Remember to ask Pat later. And then also, last weekend you did a show with Greg Kinn up in Portland, and then next weekend you're going to be playing with Paul Keller at the 5th Annual Days of Wine and Wet Noses in Scotts Valley on Saturday, the 17th.
Yes.
What time is that?
You know, I think we play fairly early, like 11:30, and it goes till 6. There were
so
a few other bands out there, and I help out.
Then.
Yeah, I help out this cause every year because it's to raise money for the Santa Cruz Animal Shelter. And it's just something a DJ friend of mine puts it on, and she's fantastic and very supportive of my career in December, people especially. And
mm-hmm.
I like to get out there and support her animal cause because she really does a great job. It's a great winery, great area there in Scotts Valley. We have a lot of fun. I play with Greg Kinn and his band, so Greg and I do a lot of things, but Paul and I don't get to do sort of the history of my music that often, so I'm excited
mm-hmm.
about that because we play all the different, you know, if it's some of Emerson's stuff, Sammy Hagar, Ambrosia.
Oh, I wish I could be there. It's so far
away. Yeah, it's a long drive for you.
Yeah, a really long drive. And I just also wanted to say, though, that Paul Keller is such an awesome guitarist, everyone. And I'd like to have him on my show sometime, too. I haven't mentioned it to him, but I would like to have him on my show sometime and talk about his musical journey.
He would be a great interview because he's such a caring, loving, good person. He's the kind of guy, if he didn't know you and a car was coming, he'd push you out of the way and take the hit himself. I mean, that sounds kind of strange, but, you know, he just is a really great person. Always puts,
I know.
Everybody else first, it seems like. Come on, Paul, take care of yourself. Yeah, I do. I'm fine. I'm good. Okay.
Yeah, well, I remember I met him because I was working at Warehouse Records and then later Tower Records down in Campbell while I was going to college. And then I met Gene Peralt, who was also in your Hush band. I met him at college while we were signing up for classes. And then that's how I met you, was through them. So
yeah, it's really you knew Paul first, huh? Because of the record stores you guys were in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's right.
But it all happened pretty much right in a row. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're almost out of time, so I just wanted to say, everyone, what music do you hear calling you? Are you living the music you hear calling you? Please, live your music, everyone. Robert, say that too. Live your music.
I live my music. You should live yours. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you again for being on my show. We're out of time, and so we're going to have to say bye for now.
It's been a pleasure to be here and speak with you again, and I'm so glad that you're doing the things you love and doing a great job of it, and you have all these other interviews lined up, and it's a good thing. Spread the good vibe.
It is. It's so much fun. It gives me so much joy. I have to go because the show's over, but thank you again for being on the show, and I'm already looking forward to the next time you can be on.
All right. It's good talking to you. We will see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.